Hey everybody, welcome to Mosaic House Church Online Worship. Today we are going to talk about the sixth of the ten commandments. You shall not commit adultery. Now, here's a question for you. Of since of the ten commandments, number six, you shall not commit adultery, is the clearest instruction and it's the one upon which most people agree, right? I mean, you don't believe that committing murder is okay or lawful or even moral, right? I don't either. But here's the question. Why? Why is murder immoral? That's my question. You might say, well, it doesn't respect the human dignity. Okay, but why does human have such a dignity? Well, you might say, because it is a form of respect. We should respect one another. Okay, but why should we respect one another? You see, it goes on and on. Today, what I'm most focused on is the why behind the what. Why is committing murder such an immoral act? And we all agree, once again, that it is wrong to take someone's life. My question is, why? It's the why behind the what. Now, already some of you are saying, you know, I had a friend, I had a family member who took their life. And you're already going there. Some of you are saying, oh, you know, I had done an abortion. And then you are feeling the weight and the guilt and all the shame. Listen, stick around, because I believe and I trust that the Lord Jesus Christ will have a word of forgiveness, restoration, and healing. He wants to set you free from all this. And furthermore, I'm going to do something what we call in Mosaic House Church Q&A. Because this topic, this subject deals with sensitivity and pastoral care, I want to encourage you to write your questions in the chat. What about, what if, and I'll do my best to address your questions. For now, would you join me in a short prayer? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, our God and Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of the heart be both pleasing in your sight and edifying to the people who are joining on this worship platform. Oh Lord, may the words of your grace and may the words of truth bring about instruction, but also healing and direction. To your glory, we pray. Amen. Let's receive the reading of the scripture. It comes to us from the book of Exodus, chapter 20. We're going to read verse 1 and 2, the preamble, and then the sixth commandment. Hear the word of the Lord. Then God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, from the house of slavery, from the land of slavery. And the sixth commandment, you are not to commit murder. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We are in a current series of messages called Set Free, Live Free. Set free, live free, 10 steps to true freedom. The Ten Commandments are not really about rules. Every week during our Q&A here at Mosaic House Church in person, I get this question a lot. I don't like rules. I don't like rules. Neither do I. No one does. But what if rules give us freedom? We don't like gravity. But submitting ourselves to gravity gives us freedom. It's not about obeying rules, but rather following steps, 10 steps to true freedom. And I really appreciate the quote. The Ten Commandments do not set people free, but rather the Ten Commandments show what free people look like. Does that make sense to you? When you adhere, when you follow the Ten Commandments, they're not going to set you free. No. Jesus set you free first. And then as you abide in the Ten Commandments, as you adhere yourselves to the Ten Commandments, the 10 steps to true freedom, you will experience, you will live in a life that is characterized by true freedom. Remember the first two verses? God says, I am God. I am the Lord your God. He identifies, he declares himself as the God of the universe, but as your God. And then he describes what he has done. I set you free. I took you out of the bondage of slavery. I took you out of the land of Egypt. You were slaves there for more than 400 years, and I rescued you. I delivered you. I saved you. It's like Jesus saying to you and me, I am the Lord your God, and I delivered you from the bondage of sin and death, the slavery. And therefore, now, live in the true freedom as you abide in the 10 steps, the 10 commandments. So here's the theme and the goal of today's message on the reflection of the 6th commandment. You shall not commit murder, because the theme and the goal is this. Jesus set you free to protect and to promote human life. Jesus sets you and me free by His grace, upon His grace, before we observed the Ten Commandments, before we did anything on our part, before we obeyed any of the Bible. Jesus sets you and me free. And therefore, according to the 6th commandment, what do we do? How do we respond to His grace? We protect and promote human life. We protect it. We guard it. We preserve it. We put safeguards around human life, my life, your life, and everyone's life. At the same time, we also promote it. We nurture it. We further it. We cultivate it. We put our passion and our energy and we move along. We advance the life that we have in Christ. I want to say just historical background. You know, the Israelites, when they received the Ten Commandments, this is when Moses went up to the top of the Mount Sinai, and the Lord spoke these words to Moses, and the Lord gave him 2 tablets. On each tablet, the 10 commandments, one for the Lord, the other 10 for the people of Israel, as if they were receiving a receipt, as a reminder. These are the stipulations. Okay? Now, prior to receiving the 10 commandments, the Israelites, they were in the bondage of slavery in Egypt for over 400 years. And as slaves, their lives, they're not being treated as people with dignity, people with respect, people with worth. Instead, they were treated as slaves, less than full human beings. They were subhumans, sub-people. Why? Because the Egyptians, the slave masters, they were more important. And this is what happened. Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, when he saw that the people of Israel, they were growing and prospering, and they were great in numbers, he felt threatened. The Egyptians felt threatened. And this is what he told to the midwives. Listen, when you help the Hebrew woman give birth, he said, watch them as they deliver. If it's a son, kill him. But if it's a daughter, let her live. Now, people of Israel who experience this oppression, they experience this evil. Their lives were not taken seriously. They were being demeaned and defaced. They were being treated as objects. If it's a boy, kill it, because it is the life of the Hebrew is not worthy. So, when the people of Israel received this commandment, thou shalt not commit murder, it was revolutionary. It was like no one ever told them that their lives matter, that they were important and significant. So let me get to it. Jesus Christ set you free to protect and to promote human life. Okay? So I want to ask three questions. Here's the first question. Why is murder immoral? Why is it wrong? Why do you and I agree on this? Why is it wrong? I want to give you three reasons. A, you are made in the image of God. You are made in the image of God. This is a huge doctrine. And the Bible is replete, filled with teachings on this topic of Imago Dei, and that's in Latin. And this is so pervasive throughout the whole scriptures. Let me take you to a couple places. First is Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, to be like us." So God created mankind in His own image. In His own image, God created them. He created them male and female. Let me take you to Genesis chapter 5, verse 1. When God created mankind, He made them in His own likeness. Theologians call this a seed of divinity. The Creator God had planted a seed of divinity in every human being. And that's what it means, that you are made in the image of God. Every human being, every one of us, every person on the face of the earth, every person who ever lived and died, every one of them contained, received this seed of divinity in them. So what does that mean? To illustrate this, I think here is an image that will show you, explain to you the meaning of the image of God. No pun intended. It's like a mirror. Mirror reflects something else, right? As you stand in front of it, what do you see? You see yourself. And that's what it means, that we are made in the image of God. When I see you, beyond the gender, beyond the education, beyond the race, beyond everything else about you, the first and foremost, what is most important about you is the fact that you reflect the glory of your Maker. Let me repeat that. It's so worth repeating. The meaning of the doctrine that you are made in the image of God means you reflect, when I see you, I see something of God in you, the seed of divinity. In you, there is a reflection of God's glory. In you, there is the reflection of God's beauty. In you, there's a reflection of God's creativity. In the book of Genesis, let us make mankind in our own image, God said, right? Okay? And He said, let them rule, let them steward over the creation. Your creativity is reflecting God's own creativity. Your respect as a person is reflecting the respect of God as the Creator. When I see you, when you see me, when you see anyone else, as you walk today, you are looking at someone who possesses, who in whom the seed of divinity has been planted. The question is this: why is murder immoral? Because it's an affront to God. When you take someone's life, when you murder someone, you are attacking God Himself. Each and every one of us, we bear the image of God, the mirror. Another word for image is icon. We represent God Himself, His glory. One of the times that I felt such high degree burning hatred was when Johanna was 3 years old. Once in a while, once a week, I would take her to the father-daughter date. And oftentimes, we went to a McDonald's. But not just any McDonald's, one that had the playground. You know, you go inside the McDonald's and the above the at the top of the ceiling there's all these tubes and turns and nets. Okay? Well, Johanna loved to climb those things. So there we were, one Saturday afternoon, just father and daughter. After our meal, our date, she went up, climbed the slide, and she was having fun way up there. And I could see what was happening because it was all, glasses, and parent had to look after their children. So all of a sudden, this boy, much older than she, he came up to her and he slapped my daughter right in the face. I felt such hatred, such anger, rightly so. What made me even madder was the parent of the boy did nothing about the situation. He did not correct his son, nor did he come to me and my daughter and say, "I'm really sorry for my son's behavior." None of that happened. I felt so hurt. I felt so attacked. Why? Because that's my daughter. You get what I'm saying? One reason murder is immoral is the person that you are taking, whose life you're taking away, that person has been made in the image of God. And as Johanna mirrors my likeness, my character, who I am, so do all of us. We reflect the glory and the weight of our God. You see, this doctrine of image of God, it is so important, such a huge, huge theology in the Bible. In fact, the commandments, number 6 to 10, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor, and thou shalt not covet your neighbor's possessions. All of them are true and they're right because your neighbor is made in the image of God. You are made in the image of God. So that's the first reason. Second reason, B, why is murder immoral? Because your worth is priceless and irreplaceable. Your self-worth is priceless and irreplaceable. Let me take you to Genesis chapter 9, verse 6. Whoever sheds human blood, by a human, his own blood is to be shed, because God made human beings in his own image. Right there. If someone commits a murder, what is the consequence? What is the repercussion? That the offender must pay it with his own life. This is how priceless and irreplaceable human life is. Why? Because you are made in the image of God. Do you like my sweater? This was a Christmas gift. It's made with cashmere. A gift from my sister-in-law all the way from Virginia, U.S. Very nice. Very nice. I was wondering, how much is this worth? So I Googled it. I was so shocked. I was so shocked. Something like this could cost anywhere between $100 and $200. There are cashmere sweaters worth $5,000. Well, now, this is not five grand, but anywhere between $100 and $200. I would never pay that kind of money for such a fine thing because that's not my budget. That's why I'm so thankful to my sister-in-law. How much is this worth? Let's say $150, okay? Now, you say to me, "Victor, I like your sweater. Can I buy it from you?" What's my response? "Well, how much are you offering?" You say, $300. I'm going to say, "Okay, it's all yours. There's a transaction." And that's because I could buy two of those with the money that you're willing to pay, because this is only worth $150, but you're going to pay $300. All right, okay. Stay with me. One of my most prized possessions is a 1996 BMW motorcycle, 1100cc. Okay? She's old, but she's faithful and strong and fast. I paid $3,000 for that motorbike about 5 years ago. Okay? So it was worth $3,000 5 years ago. If you offer me, "Hey, Victor, I want your motorbike. She's old, but she's faithful and strong and fast." I say, "How much are you willing to pay?" And you say, $6,000. I say, "Done deal." Because that bike was worth $3,000 5 years ago. And with $6,000, I could buy something even better, right? Stay with me. This is one last thing. This is one last illustration. Do you see my wedding ring? My wife gave it to me when we got married. It's silver gold, hence the color and brightness. Now, I think she paid about, this is many years ago, back in 1994. This was less than $100, okay? And you ask me, "Victor, I want to buy your ring." And I say, "No, I can't give it to you." You said, "I'll give you money." I said, "No, I can't give it to you. You see, from playing basketball, spraining my knuckles, okay, there is a deposit of calcification. My ring literally cannot come out. It's not feasible. But suppose I could take it out. I'm going to say, no, this ring is not for sale." You say, "Why not?" "Because it's priceless. It's irreplaceable. It's priceless because what it means to me. It's irreplaceable because there is none other." You see, and that's what God is saying in the scripture. Murder is immoral because your life is priceless and irreplaceable. Why? You are an image bearer of God. So first reason is, you are made in the image of God. Second, therefore, your worth is priceless. And third, your life doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God. Now, this is the most contentious point, I think. Most people today, they think and believe and debate, my life is mine. Your life is yours. Their life is theirs. I can respect that. So respect my position. And therefore, you do what you want with your life, and I do what I want with my life. And God would say, your life is mine. Every life, every human being belongs to me. Your life doesn't belong to you, it belongs to God. Because in the book of Genesis, God says, "I am your creator. I made you in my image. And that's why you belong to me. And your life doesn't belong to you." Second, in the book of Exodus, God says, "I redeemed you. I saved you. I delivered you. I bought you at a price. And therefore, you are twice mine." To illustrate, I heard of a Dutch boy in the Netherlands who bought this toy ship, you know, one of those plastic ones. He opened the package, he put everything together with glue, and he painted it, and he really, really liked his boat. And one day, he went and let the boat flow on the riverbank, and all of a sudden, there was a strong wind, and the wind took the boat into the ocean. The boy was so disheartened, his heart was broken. A few days later, he was walking in town, and in a toy store window, he saw his ship. He walked in there. He said, "That's my ship. I built it. I made it, and I lost it. Would you please?" And the owner said, "Well, I'll give you a discount." So the boy went home. He saved money. Weeks later, he came back and bought his own boat back. And he held this toy in his arms, and he said, "I built you and I bought you. You are twice mine." See, that's why your life belongs to not yourself, but to the Creator, because He made you. And your life doesn't belong to you, because God bought you at a price. He redeemed you, and therefore your life does not belong to you. So let's move on to the second point. Then how should we protect and promote human life, right? Okay. We have established a position where human life is important because it bears the image of God, right? Remember the mirror? It reflects the God's glory. So how should we do it? How should we protect and promote everyone's life? When Moses received the Ten Commandments, he went up the Mount Sinai, right? And he received the Ten Commandments, right? Now, in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus, the one who is greater than Moses, the ultimate Moses, he goes up to this mountainside. And then he gives what we call today the Sermon on the Mount. As God spoke these words into the tablets, now Jesus from the mountain, he's giving these words, his sermons. And this is what he says about the sixth commandment. Check this out. This blew my mind away. Matthew 5, verse 21. You have heard that it was told those who lived long ago, you are not to commit murder, and whoever murders will be subject to punishment. But I say to you, anyone who is angry with his brother without a cause will be subject to punishment. And whoever says to his brother, Racha, which means moron, will be subject to the council. And whoever says, you fool, will be subject to hell fire. In Jesus' days, people said, I have not committed murder. I haven't killed anyone. And then Jesus comes along. He says, is that how you understood the Ten Commandments? Is that what you understand in terms of the sixth commandment? What I say to you. And then he says something so revolutionary. If you hate your brother in your heart, you have already committed murder in your heart. Jesus doesn't see the difference between the actual taking of someone's life, murdering someone, and hating that person. He says, look. If you're angry with your brother, you'll be subject to punishment, right? And if you say to your brother, Racha, which means stupid, it's a name. You demean, deface somebody, then you will be subject to the council. You'll be taken to the court of law. And whoever says, you fool, you moron, that person will be subject to hellfire. Jesus just blows the whole thing wide open. It's not the actual murdering of someone that's immoral. Just thinking about it and wanting it in your heart. You know whom you're looking at? Hello, everyone. My name is Victor Koh. I am a serial killer. I have murdered many people already. In fact, I think I murdered a few last week on Anthony Hende. Because they're such poor drivers. Now, joking set aside, this is a serious issue. I feel so condemned. Because I recognize, I did not protect life, nor did I promote life. I took life away. How? By demeaning someone's worth, someone's reputation, someone's character. How? By thinking in my heart less of them. And that's why we, the followers of Christ, we should grieve when human life is devalued or destroyed. We should grieve and weep and mourn because it hurts the heart of the Maker. It's an affront and an attack against God Himself. Listen to Proverbs, chapter 24, verse 17. Don't rejoice when your enemy falls. Don't let yourself be glad when he stumbles. You see? Did you catch that? Even the enemies, even people who hate us, when they fall, When they're on their faces, we should not rejoice or take delight. Why not? Why not? Why not? Tell me, why not? Because they also are made in the image of God. Yes, they consider us their enemies, but even so, we should protect and preserve and promote the image of Godness in every person. Why should we look after the immigrants? Why should we be concerned about social justice? Why should we go out of our way and promote the causes of the marginalized? Why should we treat sex workers with dignity and respect? Why are we still talking about the fallouts of the residential schools? Because every one of those people who are affected, they are made in the image of God. This is what I call self-worth. The intrinsic value. See, as it was in the land of Egypt, so it is now in our land. Your value, your worth, my worth, goes up and down. Hey, is Victor productive? Then his worth is higher. Hey, does he contribute to society? Does he bring something invaluable to the table? Then my worth is subjective. It goes up and down, but it is only in the scriptures. There is no other religion, no other philosophy, no other ideology, no other worldview that says we should treat people with dignity and weight. Why? Because they are made in the image of God. We have a confessional article in our church. It's called Heidelberg Catechism. And in Lord's Day 40, question and answer 105, here's what it asks. What is God's will for you in the sixth commandment? Answer, I am not to belittle, hate, insult, or kill my neighbor, not by my thought, my words, my look, or gesture, and certainly not by actual deeds. And I am not to be party to this in others. Rather, I am to put away all desires for revenge. I am not to harm or recklessly endanger myself either. Prevention of murder is also why government is armed with the sword. Did you catch the last part? And therefore, you are not to endanger yourself either because you are made in the image of God. And this is why nations, governments are armed with sword to protect the furthering of taking lives away. Let's take one more Q&A. Number 107. Is it enough, then, that we do not murder our neighbor in any such way? No, answers the catechism. By condemning envy, hatred, and anger, God wants us to love our neighbors as ourselves, to be patient, peace-loving, gentle, merciful, and friendly toward them, to protect them from harm as much as we can, and to do good even to our enemies. So we have answered, why is murder immoral? And two, how should we go about protecting and promoting the human life? And lastly, how does the grace of Jesus Christ empower us to protect and promote human life? Some of you are saying, hey, what about my loved one, my family, my friend who took their own lives? Hey, what about me? Years ago, I had an abortion, and I still carry that weight of shame and guilt. What about me? What will Jesus say? What can Jesus do to set me free? I have said, every one of us is an image bearer of God. We reflect God's glory, right? In every one of us, there is a seed of divinity, right? Now, comes along Jesus Christ, and in the book of Colossians, this is what we read. This is amazing. The Son, Jesus Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Let me unpack it. Jesus Christ is the full image of God. He reveals everything about God himself because he himself is God the Son. You and I, we only have a seed of divinity, right? Little tiny seed. But Jesus contains all the array of all the glory of God the Father, because He's God the Son. He is the image of the invisible God. Do you want to know what God looks like? Look to Jesus. Do you know what God is like? Look to Jesus. You know what makes God happy? Look to Jesus. You know what makes God sad? Look to Jesus. Because Jesus Christ is what? The perfect, the full image, icon of the invisible God. And guess what happened to him? Luke chapter 3. The Son of God came in His glory, in the fullness of God's perfect likeness. And then what do? They crucified Him. And as He was being crucified, and as He was dying, let me make it better, as they were murdering Him, you know what He said? You know what He said? Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." What does God say as He is being murdered? He forgives the people. And He's forgiving me. He's forgiving you. Jesus died because of my sins. He died because of your sins. And what Jesus is saying, come to me. Come to me. Come to me. Come to me. I will forgive you. I will take your sin away. I will take your guilt and shame away, because I'm setting you free for good. And as free people, what do? We receive Jesus Christ, His forgiveness. We receive His approval. He removes, cleans, and wipes away our guilt and shame completely. And if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed of your past, of your slavery. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. So friends, as we conclude, can we just imagine something? Imagine a marriage in which the husband looks to his wife and says, "Honey, I respect you. I honor you because you are made in the image of God." Imagine a family where children and the parents, they treat each other with such respect and honor. Why? Because everyone recognizes, mommy is made in the image of God, and so am I. Can you imagine a school where teachers and students themselves, there's no more bullying. There's no more demeaning. Because everyone respects everyone who is made in the image of God. Can you imagine a church where everyone sees everyone as someone who's walking with the mirror of God Himself, saying, "Hey, you see God in me, I see God in you." Imagine a nation, imagine a world where the entire humanity is reshaped and being reshaped by this doctrine that everyone is made in the image of God. And that's why we shall not commit murder. Let's pray. Friends, as I'm praying, I want to remind you, the Lord Jesus is calling you. He's calling you. Do you hear Him? He's saying, "I created you and I redeemed you. You are twice mine. You belong to me. You are not your own. You are mine." I take so much comfort in that, friends, and so should you. So come to Him. Maybe the Holy Spirit is leading you to call upon Christ, maybe for the first time, maybe for the 100th time. You've been away, and Christ is saying, "Come home now, come home now." And for you, for the first time, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, because He's setting you free. He's setting you free. Heavenly Father, receive each and every one of us. We are so humbled and so reassured that our self-worth is found in the worth of our Maker. Let this shape us continually, and let this encourage us, motivate us, inspire us to treat other people with such high respect and dignity. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.